Harford, White, Bartell. It's RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
And it's great to have your company as always on a Monday morning. After a big sporting weekend, there's been lots happening and we've still got plenty to come. Adrian Fletcher not too far away. Aaron Pike, who had a good win, the Victorian PGA across the weekend as well. Now, that's impressive. We like winners. But we like young men who are going places in a hurry as well. And basically, the Breakfast Club has inspired Lucas Herbert to greatness. A top three finish, a third place finish in the British Masters across the weekend. A good payday. It's been a big month for the young man. He's been good enough to join us to discuss that and more. Good morning, Lucas. Well done.
Hello, boys. Thank you.
Outstanding performance, mate. Now, we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and you had a bit of a prayer offer to go and be a part of, was it the Portugal Masters, I think it might have been, to go and play and do what you could while you were there. And all of a sudden, you've been there for a month and you're dominating. Well, what's going on? What's been the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. We've found a little purple patch here. I had a caddy change. I picked up Martin Keimer's old caddy, whose name is Craig Connolly. So he's done the last 2 weeks and two top tens. So he's putting in a pretty good pitch for the job offer at the moment.
An outstanding pitch, I'd reckon. Tell us, because we always see caddies with players on tour and we're watching on the television and assume you have a great relationship and you're really comfortable with each other. When you've got a new caddy, what's that filling out process like?
It can be a little bit difficult. I think them knowing how to handle you when you hit bad shots or you have bad patches in rounds and that kind of thing, you know, some people, I mean, it's probably like dealing with a football team. Some guys, you know, you've really got to, sort of just get into them and you know, tell them what you think of them and really rev them up. And then some guys, you know, need a bit of TLC to get the best out of them. So it's, sometimes it can be a lot of managing that and just obviously knowing my game as well, learning what's strong. What shots are my strengths and what shots are my weaknesses and, you know, trying to give me the best advice based on that.
So what kind of guy are you, Lucas? Are you a revved up hype man? Are you the man who needs to be calmed down or are you the man who just needs the cuddle?
Well, I definitely don't need a cheerleader on my team. So, I'm more than happy to be told that I'm nowhere near as good as what I think I am and that I need to pull my finger out and start performing to, you know, get the results that I need to get.
Well, the results are certainly showing. And half said, you got the invite, the late call-up. So what do you do now? You've stayed on. Do you have to go buy an extra pair of jocks? Like, how do you prepare for, you know, the longer stay in Europe?
I've just booked my flight home tomorrow. So heading back. So I've played four the last 5 weeks now. So that's sort of been a good stint. But, yeah, ready to go home and sort of get ready to play Turkey, Nedbank and Dubai coming up in 3 weeks' time.
It's extraordinary to think you got to this point, Lucas, that you can actually now talk about Turkey, you can talk about playing in the Nedbank and then Dubai. I mean, compared to where you were 5 or 6 weeks ago, where it was all about just trying to secure that card. I mean, it's happened so dramatically and so quickly.
Yeah, it's been a massive, obviously, like a whirlwind sort of thing. Working hard to try and keep my card and then bang, 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 and all of a sudden we've sort of got the results we had. So it's been really good, but I think the pleasing thing has been, you know, after I got my card in Portugal, it probably would have been a bit easy to sort of sit back and relax a bit, knowing that, you know, my goal had been ticked off and, I could have had some poorer performances coming in these last two events that I've just played, but I've sort of reset some goals and found some new motivation and been able to sort of get the good results out of myself that, you know, I knew that I had there and, you know, have been sort of producing under the gun all year, just a little bit less pressure on me now, obviously, knowing that I can go out there with nothing to lose.
Because I want to ask you about that, about the changing motivation, because it wasn't about chasing a top 115 or a top 100. It was you got that. So what were the fresh goals you put in place to make sure you kept that intensity about you and kept this momentum rolling?
I think, you know, from the start of the year, getting a European Tour card seemed pretty, like it was a pretty ridiculous kind of thought to think that I could do what I've done this year. It was obviously going to take a lot of good goals, but it was going to take so much more than that, given, you know, the sort of schedule that I was going to have to play and the late notice that I was going to have to, you know, endure to, you know, I guess getting invites, you know, to play Amsterdam. I got the invite at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, and you know, I'm on a plane that night out there ready to go, and I've had sort of no time really to prepare. So, that was a pretty out there sort of goal, I thought. And so obviously ticked that off. So I thought, well, for the rest of the year, you know, we may as well make it another outlandish sort of goal. So I set my goal is to get to the top 50 in the world by the end of the year, which I was at 117 or 114 after Portugal, I think. So it doesn't seem that far, but it's a long way when I think, like, the space between guys once you get closer up to the top is a lot bigger than what it is, you know, down at 400. You can jump 70 spots quite easily when you're at 400 in the world versus when you're at 117, it's a lot harder. So that's the new goal for the end of the year, is to try and get there. So I've got a pretty good idea of what I need to do. It's gonna need more good results like I've had, but I think it's really kept that competitive drive about me. And, you know, made me really, play some good golf out there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. Your story this year is simply extraordinary. It's almost a book-like type situation. The last question I've got for you, I know Jimmy and Huff have got their hands up. I'm hogging it. I'm going one more. You make the cut by one this week, and then you go on from that position. So you almost went home. You could have been home now. You make it by one, and then you go on and you make $300,000 for the weekend. What do you do in that? Like, is that crazy to even think about that sort of thing?
Yeah, it is. I think, and it's even probably, like, you know, for everyone probably sitting at home listening, it's pretty crazy to think that, like, I've just made that, you know, it's like $315,000 Australian, I think the conversion rate is. But there's sort of two things that everyone forgets. It's like, one, I've got to pay tax and my own expenses on top of that. So, like, that's probably 40% straight up that I'm going to lose just from, there's an international withholding tax that you've got to pay and, you know, all sorts of other stuff that obviously come out of that. So, it's, you know, it's not that figure. And secondly, it's basically monopoly money anyway with the amount you've got to spend to play out here each week. You know, $315,000 sounds like a lot, but it sort of doesn't go that far, realistically. You know, the money I've made this year, I've had some ridiculous outgoings as well. So it's sort of, I think it was just more crazy because, you know, I stood on AT&T on, well, Saturday morning because we had to restart because we did run out of light Friday night. But I had to make birdie on 18 to make the cut, and I hit a wedge from about 110 to 2 feet, made that, and then, you know, go out that afternoon and shoot 67, and then go out today in some pretty tough conditions and shoot 69, and it was like, that was pretty crazy, but it was sort of cool to experience it as well.
Well, it's great to watch you do it, no doubt. I just want to find out, just you're talking before about getting the card and securing that. Is there a tangible and a physical stress level reduction in your golf? And is that enabling you to play a bit more aggressively, a bit more freely, since you've been able to secure that card, knowing that you've got a bit more certainty about your calendar next year?
Yeah, well, I think today I was able to be a lot more aggressive. Like, you know, I thought, so the front, I don't know whether many people watched it, but like the front nine all week was into the wind for probably 70% of the holes, and it played quite tough. And today the wind switched and we got the first nine holes straight downwind, basically. So, you know, had two par fives that now became really reachable, whereas that, you know, they were quite tricky, especially if you drove it in the heather for the first three rounds. And so I thought if I could get off to a good start, you know, that would get me right up near the lead and give me a chance. So I think with that, you know, with the mentality that you know that your cards, you know that you're going to have somewhere to play next year, you can just more focus on trying to win rather than worried about, well, if this doesn't go well, you know, I've still got to try and focus and, you know, try and hold on to a position as opposed to like, oh, well, you know, we've got to make, you know, three shots up coming into the back nine. Let's just keep pushing and try really hard, you know. And it kind of, it sounds funny because golf, you know, you should just be shoot the lowest score you can. But I think when you know there's nothing to lose if it doesn't come off, that's, you know, I think you tend to get a lot more aggressive and, you know, sometimes it pays off.
Well, it paid off on the weekend. It wasn't a win. It was a top three finish, and it's been a great little campaign for you over there in Europe. And you've, as Whitey said, you positioned yourself beautifully for Racing Dubai activity as well. And you're coming home. So what happens when you get home?
I'll go to bed for about 3 days, I think. Yeah, I'm absolutely wrecked. Like, usually after the last round of tournament, you go out and enjoy a couple of beverages, especially with that sort of finish. But I'm in bed already at about 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. So, I think I'm playing the Ainsbury Pro-Am this weekend just to try and dust off some jet lag problems, and then just chill out for a few days and try and get ready for Turkey.
Well, it's a lot to look forward to for you. You've been great to watch the last little bit, mate. We think it's fantastic you've been able to achieve what you've done. Long may continue. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on.